Hey guys, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sydney.
And this is Tales of the Wicked.
Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Tales of the Wicked. Sid, how are you?
Well, I started off my day very. My day was great. It was going smoothly. I went to the gym. I got a smoothie, like good.
Oh
And then
man,
we
that does sound
started,
good.
it does not sound good. And then we went to go record, and now I'm grumpy.
Yeah,
Grumps.
I'm pretty grumpy right now. This, I don't know why it's so frustrating to try to record when we're apart. And we don't record together often because we live like half an hour away.
Right.
Whatever, it's
I don't know.
fine. We're here. If the
We're
audio
here.
cuts like it has been, it's a free show. What do you want from us?
Yeah.
Send us
We
money so we can buy better
hope you
options.
enjoy it anyways.
Yeah, we're doing this for you. For us, it's not for us at this point, so.
But seriously though, day started off really well. Like, I don't know what it is. Whenever it starts to get warm out and the weather starts to break, I'm like, my true insides just like bursting at the seams. Like,
Yeah, your personality is thawing out.
I'm like, oh yes, I'm so excited. Like, I'm over here like, nah, shaking. I can't wait for it to be nice all the time.
You know, I think the sun's really affecting me today too, because
Ooh.
I only got 3 hours of sleep and I'm actually functioning like a regular adult. Normally, I could get like 6 hours of sleep and not even be able to keep my eyes open. So.
And something to something to look forward to this weekend is daylight savings.
Oh, yeah.
So it's gonna stay, the sun stays out longer. See, the weather's getting nice, the sun stays out longer. It's just everything about it is good. People that enjoy winter and the snow, I don't listen to this podcast because I don't like you.
I mean, we need better numbers, so they can listen if they want, but we don't have to be their friends.
But yeah, no, definitely when it starts to get nice out, I just get super motivated and I'm like, yeah, this is great. And that's how I was feeling today until now. But that's okay.
See, I like to fit, like, I'm like, oh, like, it's super nice, so I have all of these things I want to do. But then I'll turn on an episode of Schitt's Creek, and then 8 hours later, I'm still on my couch. So,
Oh my
I mean, I'm
gosh.
more optimistic, but it's usually the same results. Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Oh,
I
hold on.
feel
I'm sorry. Oh my
Yes, Megan.
Oh no, I twisted my leg in a weird way, and I just got the most intense cramps shooting up my thigh. Like I got like a Charlie horse going up my thigh.
Oh my
Oh, okay.
gosh, that's
We're
funny.
stretching it. We're fine. Sorry.
What were
That
you gonna say?
really hurt. What? Go
Were
on,
you going,
sweetie. No.
what?
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, this is funny. I was gonna say there's one very clear topic that we need to talk about before we get into the like case this week, and that's the Batman movie.
I was going to say Batman.
Yes.
Okay,
So,
so I know that you and I shared our thoughts after we saw it together. But I don't know if I shared this thought with you, so I'm going to repeat myself. And if you've heard it, cool. If you haven't, cool.
okay.
Did I tell you that up until we saw the movie, I actually had very real doubts about Robbie Patts being Batman.
Did you really?
Okay, so we didn't talk about this.
No,
Yes.
we didn't.
Okay. Obviously, if you've listened to the show, you know I love him more than anything else,
Yes.
but I had never seen him in this type of role. So
Yeah.
I was a little nervous that
Yeah.
it was going to be more cringy than, because I'm a passionate Batman fan. I really don't get too involved in the Marvel world, but I'm really emotionally involved in Batman. Always have been, always will be. And I was like, okay, like I like him as an actor, but I've never seen him in this type of role. Please don't ruin my movie.
See, I recently watched him in Tenet, and then I also watched him in this movie called, I think it's called Devil All the Time is the title of it.
I need
It
to
was
rewatch
a
that movie. I didn't like it the first time I saw it.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't like the movie. I thought that it was kind of it reminded me of Pulp Fiction. Have you ever seen Pulp Fiction?
So long ago that I don't really remember anything of it.
Okay. So, you know how I am. I love movies. I know the list of the top 100 movies. I'm trying to make my way through it. I mean, there's a lot of movies and it changes all the time. But Pulp Fiction is like this big cult classic. So I was like, okay, I have to watch Pulp Fiction. So I did, and I was like, this was the biggest disappointment of a movie. Why is this a cult classic? I did not like it. Like, I fully don't think Pulp Fiction is that great of a movie.
Yeah, I
And
didn't
Devil All the
remember being impressed by it at all. I was just kind of like, oh, that was a movie, and I kind of wasted my time with that.
So Devil All the Time is not like Pulp Fiction, but it is in the way of there's a bunch of different characters and they all have different stories and you're following them around and they all connect in some way.
See, I like that. I think.
I don't know what it was. Like, I think that I liked Devil All the Time more than I liked Pulp Fiction, but also, like, Devil All the Time had a lot of actors in it that I liked. It had Tom Holland in it, it had Robert Pattinson, it had Sebastian Stan. Like, it had all these people in it that I enjoy watching. So I
Yeah.
think that's maybe why I liked it a little bit more, but I wouldn't watch it again.
Well, I want to watch it again on my own because I watched it with Aaron and he already is extremely irritated by the fact that I like Robert Pattinson so much. So whenever I say anything like, oh, like he's in this movie, I want to watch, he's like, oh, of course you want to watch that movie. And then he shits on the movie the entire time I'm watching it. So it's like, I think I was prepped to hate that movie. Just because it was nothing but him complaining through the entire thing.
And I mean, honestly, Robert Pattinson's character is a little weird in it
It he was
too.
weird in it, but it's one
Yeah,
of those things
but
where like it was more of like a thriller, and that's more up my alley, so I want to give it a chance anyways. Plus, this is the only movie I've ever seen Tom Holland in, so I wanted to give that another shot too, because I've
Oh,
never
well,
seen him in anything else.
you
The
gotta, I'm
Spider-Mans
so.
are on my list. It's a long list. I have to get through Lord of the Rings first. Thank
Megan
you.
is not a Marvel fan, but I am a huge Marvel fan. I've seen all the movies. I've seen them in order. I just bought an Infinity Stone ring. Like I am like gung ho all in Marvel.
Well, no, you make it sound like I actively don't like
You
Marvel.
no,
I
you
just
don't actively
literally
not like
haven't
it.
seen the movies yet. The
Yes,
ones I
yeah.
have seen, I do like. I liked the second Thor. I didn't like the first one, and I
Well,
liked the like first two Iron Man movies, and those were the only ones I've seen. So I've
oh
liked what I've
gosh.
seen. I just haven't. Well, because Aaron hates superheroes with like
Yeah.
the most passion I've ever seen anyone hate anything with. So
Yeah.
like, when am I gonna watch? I'm not gonna go to the movies by myself.
Listen, if you like the second Thor movie, you'll like all of them because the second Thor movie is not that great.
Oh, I loved that movie. I like immediately went out to the store and bought it.
Oh my gosh.
I
But
liked it. I also
back
really
to.
like Loki, so.
Oh, I like Loki too. I agree. I wanted to dress up as Loki for Halloween. Well, you haven't watched the show, but there's the Loki show that came out.
Yeah, I wanted to watch it and I was actually going to ask you, do I need to watch the other movies before I watch
Yeah.
that show or can I just watch the
Yeah,
show?
I would watch all the other movies. I mean, you could just watch the show. I mean, it's not really gonna
God, this fandom's like a full-time job.
you can watch the show. You'll be fine. But there's
Okay.
a character in the show, it's President Loki, and he's wearing like a green suit and he has a vote for Loki thing on and like the horns. And that's what I was gonna dress up as for Halloween, but then we didn't end up dressing up as ho for Halloween. So
That's cute.
I really do like Loki. But back to Batman, I agree with you. I wasn't like doubting Robert Pattinson as Batman, but I also was just trying to keep my like I was trying to stay open-minded about it. You
I
know what I
didn't know
mean?
what to expect with it, but I do
Yes,
have to
I'll
say I
agree.
was blown away. I think he did such a great job.
Yes.
Besides George Clooney, he is my favorite Batman. So
I
I was very happy with the movie. Like, I don't think I had a single complaint except for like unflattering camera angles at times, and that's it.
I I've been watching, like, so last night I watched 2 hours worth of Robert Pattinson and Batman interviews with the cast and stuff. And fun fact, I found this out while watching Robert Pattinson interviews. In Twilight, the first movie, you know the scene, the really, really cringy scene at the very end when, like, Bella it got bit by the vampire and he's like sucking the venom out of her wrist.
Yeah.
Okay, it's such a cringy scene and I hate it so
That
much.
whole,
But
you're like, you know that one cringy scene? I'm like, okay,
the
the
whole
entire
movie.
movie?
Yes.
So you have to be
But
really specific.
that ending scene is just like so bad. But I
Oh,
remember
yeah.
being like 13 and watching it. And I was like, oh my God, he's sucking the venom out of her arm so she doesn't turn into a vampire because he loves her.
How
But
romantic.
yes. But you know the song that's playing during that scene?
Yeah.
Robert Pattinson wrote, played, and sang that song.
What? I'm gonna have to listen to
Yes.
that song again.
I'll send you the link. I was going to send it last night, but then I was like, oh, I could talk about it on the podcast. But yeah,
Okay.
he sings and he plays music. I didn't know that about him.
Oh my God, cute. Okay, so
Cute.
speaking of Twilight, which I hate to bring this up in every episode, but that's just where we go, apparently.
Right.
That first movie has a great soundtrack, and yeah.
I have a couple songs down on my like Apple Music that's from the Twilight movies. I'll fully admit it.
Yeah,
That
they're
are
good
good songs.
songs.
Yeah.
And now I don't know if they're still good songs or they're just really nostalgic.
No, they're
But
just good songs.
yeah.
But movie was great. Tales of the Wicked approved. Everyone should go see it. I'm trying to get John to go see it again this weekend. Well, he hasn't seen it. I want to see it again. I'm
I'm
trying to
trying to
get
get
him
Aaron to
to
go
go this
see it
weekend.
with me.
I'm thinking either tomorrow or Saturday because I just like John and I. So, how I'm obsessed with Marvel, my husband's obsessed with Marvel. We see all these movies together. We refuse to see them apart. We're not DC fans, but we both really enjoy Batman and we've been looking forward to this movie. And it's killing me on the inside because anytime we see a movie like this, we have to. So I did this with Megan instead of John. Like, we watched the movie and then I said, okay, what would you rate it? What did you dislike about it? What did you like about it? Like, John and I do this when we watch movies. So it's killing me inside because I love this movie so much. And I just want to be able to talk about it with him, but I
Yeah, it
can't.
was. I'm really trying to get Aaron to watch it, but because I told him, I'm like, it's not because he hates like the macho-ness of superheroes or whatever.
It's
I think that's
not
what he
even a
said.
superhero movie.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, this is just a rich guy with a lot of utilities, and he's really like, he wants to beat the shit out of people. I'm like, it's an action movie before it's like a
Yes,
superhero movie. I'm like,
I
you would really
agree.
like it. I'm like, it's really dark and eerie. I'm like, you would really like this movie. Please just get over yourself for 2 seconds and watch the fucking movie with me. Thank you.
And something about it that I really enjoyed, I read a couple articles about it too. Like, I personally, and I think I told you this when we watched it, I personally liked that this movie skips Batman's origin story. Like, we've
Yeah.
seen so many Batman movies. I already know how his parents died. I already know how he became Batman. I already know that he's sad and all this stuff. Like, this movie jumps in and he's been Batman for 2 years. Like, it shows a journal that says, like, year two or something like that in the
Yeah.
beginning of the movie. Like, there's
Not to
no.
spoil it though, like
Yeah.
one thing I did like was they dove back into his family background but gave it a new angle and
Yes.
they played it in a way that we haven't seen yet.
Agreed. Agreed. They took the story. I really like storyline wise. I really like the way this movie. I honestly, I think this is my favorite Batman movie. And I just watched the first Christian Bale movie, Batman Begins, yesterday. No, not yesterday, on Tuesday. And then I started The Dark Knight, but then I didn't end up finishing it. But I really think that Robert Pattinson is his movie is probably my favorite. I like all the villains in it. I like the storyline behind it. I like that they just jump right into it. And I really like Robert Pattinson as Batman. And I don't think that people I mean the movie hit like record highs in the box office. Whoa. But I think that there's a lot of people out there that doubts the movie because he's the Batman. And I know that there was like petitions that went out to get him like recasted
But
when
he did
everyone
such a
found
great
out.
job.
Well, exactly. And I feel like people need to go watch it because like if you didn't know anything about Robert Pattinson's past, which he has a ton of great movies, like a lot of people just base him off of, the cringy Twilight vampire love story. Like there's a lot more to him and a lot more to his acting. And I feel like people need to go see this movie and like give him a chance because it really shows how great of an actor he is.
Yeah. And like I said before, I was even like not doubting, but kind of just questioning how it would work out. And I went in like really open-minded and he blew away my expectations. Like he did such a great job.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was very happy with that. And I hope they do more. Oh,
I think also, they are.
Did you see the end credit thing?
No, I didn't look it up because I figured when I go with John, I'll watch it with him.
Well, the thing I was saying is there's the only thing at the end of the credits is an encrypted code. And it's like the Riddler's code, but you don't know what the code says. But I saw a post going around where they broke that code and then you can see what it actually says. So if you want, I can send that to you or you can look it up. But it's like basically just like there wasn't anything after the credits except for a code. And you would have to like sit there and like figure out the code yourself.
People are freaking insane. I'm sure people took a picture of it and then had like, because in the movie they showed like the long list of his. I'm sure people have it. Like you said, people already have it broken down. I think my favorite part that I always just think about over and over again is just Batman on the FaceTime.
That was so funny.
And it's my favorite part. And I think, and I, like what I'm most curious about is, how they're gonna put the Joker, like if they do a second movie, which they very much talk like, you know, ended it with the expectations of a second movie, and they'd be dumb not to, because this movie I'm assuming is doing amazing because it is really good. I'm very curious to see how they tie the Joker into it. I don't know, but the like, it's not like they base one movie off of one villain. Like they have like Penguin and the Riddler were both in this movie.
Yeah.
And the next movie, like I'm assuming Penguin's still going to be in it. I'm assuming that the Riddler's still going to be in it. And then the joke, I don't know. I don't want to
say anymore, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me. I haven't stopped thinking about it either. And one thing I have been thinking about that you inspired me, and this is what I was going to say earlier, you had talked to me about how like you and your dad have this like list of movies that you guys want to watch together, and you inspired me to make my own movie bucket list.
Ooh.
So I'm going to take like the next couple days to like physically write out a bucket list of movies that I want to watch and try to get them. Yeah. Yeah. Send me any suggestions. Cause like basically if there's a classic movie, I probably have not seen it. Like, if it's not Joe Dirt, I haven't seen it. So
I've never seen Joe Dirt. Oh, I don't God. Like it's I don't the like best dumb movie humor ever. Movies like that though. I don't.
It's so good.
I have a list of movies that I want to see. I have a list of movies that I enjoy and like to recommend to others. I also follow a lot of pages on Instagram that have like that show movies and stuff, and that's where I get a lot of them from. Mm-hmm. I think that we enjoy different movies, but we, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of times where I really like a movie and I don't know if you would, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like we enjoy different things about a movie.
I'm weird about my movies. Like there's
you
like,
are.
I hate rom-coms, but I literally just rewatched a rom-com the other day and I was like, yeah, this movie still holds up. It's still as great as it was like 10 years ago when it came out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's more or less about like the actors. Like if there's a movie with Ryan Reynolds in it, I already know I'm not going to watch it. So I'm not going to waste my time.
Well, I mean, a lot of like this. So I like a lot of movies that make me think and make me feel something. So one movie that I really, really enjoy, I want to watch. I've only watched it once. I want to watch it again. And I would recommend to people is Arrival. I don't know if you've seen anything about Arrival.
No, I've never heard of it.
So, like, when I was watching the movie, I was, because there's a twist at the end. When I was watching the movie, I was enjoying it, but I was like, I don't understand where this is going or what they're, you know, like, what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I was watching it, I was kind of slowly doubting it, but then whenever the ending hit and I found the twist of it, like, of the movie, I was like, oh my God, this movie is so, I was, like, crying. I was like, this movie is so good. But like, I was doubting it as I was watching it. But then whenever the ending hit, like a good ending that hits me in my, like in my feels, I love the movie. I'll watch it over and over again.
Yeah. I have this weird thing where I love the setup for most movies, not all of them, but I love the setup and the beginning of the movie more than I love the actual end. So like, I'll watch a movie all the way through, and if I liked it, I'll just watch it up to a certain point, and then I'm like, meh, I already know how it ends. I just like to watch the setup.
Oh, see, I watch movies for the ending. Like, I need,
well, it depends on which one. Like, there's certain ones, like P.S. I Love You, my favorite part is the ending. So I'll watch that movie 100 times over, and I have, like, Little Women, I have to watch that to the end every time.
Little Women is just so good.
It gets
It's actually on it's on Hulu right now. I almost watched it the other day.
Is it?
Yeah, they just put it on there.
I don't know why I act like I'm so surprised. Like, I have the DVD. I can watch it whenever I want. Because, yeah, I am old-fashioned. I like to collect DVDs.
But, yeah, if you need a movie, I literally am staring at my list right now. We'll connect. We talk sometimes. Yeah. But, yeah. So, okay. I heard you have a pretty gruesome case for me this week.
Yeah. Okay. So, about that, my apologies now. Yeah. Okay. So, like I had said a couple weeks ago, I planned to sometime in March cover BTK.
Yes.
And I also am apologizing because I am a terrible procrastinator, and I literally didn't even pick my topic for today's episode until 1 a.m. this morning. And I was like, okay, I want to pick something like not as bad because I'm doing BTK in 2 weeks. So yeah, I'm doing that one in 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, I want to pick something not as bad. And then I had something picked out on my phone. I was like, okay, like sending myself the sources and everything so I could, because I was on my phone, so I was like sending it to my computer so I could look at it and type it all up. And then I opened my laptop when I got home from work. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that I Googled gruesome crimes. I'm like, let's see what this list has. And then I saw this other one. I'm like, oh no, this is the one I have to do. And then, like I told Sid, I was reading through it because I had never heard this case before. And then I was looking at the details. I'm like, oh my God, I know this case for a really like specific reason, which I'm going to get into that later because that goes more into the details of the crime. So we'll talk about that later. But I want to kind of just jump right into it because this is kind of a long, it might be a long one. I don't know. Sometimes I read too fast. And then it's like a 10-minute episode.
It's not that long. Well, I already have my topic for next week picked out. And mine is not heavy. And it's also not about a couple where one person dies. Because I have a tendency to go towards that kind of case. And I'm not doing that next week. So next week, we'll have a heavy week. We'll have a real gruesome one right now. And then I'll keep it a little light. And then we'll do BTK, which I'm super, super, super excited about. So
yeah, and normally we don't share ahead of time what we're doing, but since BTK is kind of one of those heavy ones, I wanted to give Sid a warning ahead of time so that way she could kind of do her episode around that and do a lighter one for you guys. We're not just like smacking you in the face week after week after week.
Right, right. So, all right, well, let's hear this one.
All right. Let's go. Okay, and also really quick before we start, I do want to apologize. We have a little bit of a head cold traveling around our house, so I'm just getting over congestion, and I have a really dry throat, so it might sound kind of funky today, but I'm dealing with it, so you could
take some sips of coffee in between sentences if you need to.
Yeah, and also sweet baby P is sleeping upstairs for once, thankfully. So I'm downstairs, and you might hear Dally's little claws clinking around the floor. So I apologize about that, but I have hardwood floor, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
All right.
We're not perfect, okay, people?
It's a free show. If you want better quality, send me some money. Mama could use it. Okay. So I'm excited to talk about this one. We are going to be talking about the Kansas City Butcher.
Great.
Dun, dun, dun.
Butcher.
Okay. <Ooh. laughs> Yeah. So just like at the top, I wanted to give a warning. This is going to involve kidnapping, rape, and torture. So as per usual.
And then, talking children? Are we talking
adults?
Okay.
I think the youngest person is 19.
Ugh.
So, all right. Adults. Let's go. And then I had to give myself a little note at the top because this, okay. I do want to remind everyone, I wrote these notes at like 3 a.m. and I, okay. So it takes place in Kansas City. And I was like, yeah, so living in Kansas. I'm like, nope. That's Missouri, not Kansas City, Kansas.
All right.
So there might be a time where I say Kansas, but I mean Missouri, and whoops.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. So we're going to get into it now.
Okay.
Ahem. In late March, early April 1988, I saw in one of my sources that it was Easter weekend of that year, and I looked it up. So Easter was on April 3rd of that year. Because I know Easter is on, like, different days every year.
Mm-hmm.
A young man was seen running around a Kansas City neighborhood near the Hyde Park area, if that means anything to you.
It does not
to me. But for anyone listening who might be from that area, there you go. It's in that area. He was running around naked, only wearing a dog collar around his neck. The police were called, and I don't think anything could have prepared them for this man's terrifying story. 22-year-old Christopher Bryson, he was a prostitute from Wichita. He told the police that he had been picked up by a man on March 29th, who he thought he was just someone who was seeking his services, but he couldn't even imagine that this man had much more malevolent intentions. Bryson was struck over the head with a metal bar and drugged as soon as he arrived to the house. Over the course of about brutally raped and tortured before he escaped. But before we go too far into this, I want to backtrack. And we're going to talk about the man who is responsible for this, because this Christopher Bryson is the one that gets him caught. So this is like the end of the story, but I usually like to start with the end and then go back to the beginning.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Robert Andrew Berdella Jr. and his 6 victims before the one that escaped. So Robert Andrew Berdella Jr. was born on January 31st, 1949 now this might sound familiar to you, in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
I know where that's at. It's right down the road.
Yep. He was born to parents Robert Berdella Sr. and Mary Berdella, and he had one younger brother named Daniel. He grew up in a strict Catholic family. He was described as, quote, a typical loner with a non-existent social life. He not only had a speech impediment, but also suffered from high blood pressure, end quote.
Wow. All right.
That's every little boy's dream, to have their description be that.
I have high blood pressure.
The boys were said to have been physically and mentally abused by their father. I read it's because they weren't, like, especially Robert. I forgot what his name was.
I was going to say, what are you doing over there?
I keep wanting to call him Andrew, but that's his middle name. I read that, like, especially Robert got picked on by his father because he was not, like, athletic by any means whatsoever. But their father died in December of 1965 of cardiac arrest, and he was actually really young when he passed away. He was only 39, and I was just a little curious, so I looked up the average life expectancy of an adult man. And in the 1960s, it was 66 years old. So even still, for that time, it was still really young. And I think now, the average age for a man is like 77.
I thought it was like 80 or, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah. One source said that he died on Christmas Day while they were in Canton visiting family, which is my hometown. So hey, Canton. Not too sure how accurate that was because I only saw it on one of my sources, but I just wanted to throw that in there anyways.
Because you're from Can.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, later Birdella would die in prison of a heart attack, which, okay, I'm super stupid, and I always thought like cardiac arrest and a heart attack were basically the same thing, which I know you went to medical school. I don't know how much you went into hearts because you're in sonography, but I wanted to just get the difference in case there are any other dum-dums out there who don't know the difference like I didn't. So according to heart.org, a heart attack is when the blood flow to the heart is blocked, and sudden cardiac arrest is when the heart malfunctions and suddenly stops beating unexpectedly. So,
I mean, essentially, they kind of result in, they can result in the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was funny when you said you went to medical school, and I like instantly thought of a doctor, and I was like, medical school, what?
Well, you went to medical classes. You're in the field.
Yeah, I'm in the medical field. I don't know that much about hearts, though. So I do ultrasounds. But there's general ultrasound, which is what I do. And then there's specific cardiac echo ultrasound that they only do hearts all day, every single day.
Yeah, I knew you didn't do that, so I didn't know like how far your classes went into heart stuff. I figured
I know very, very little when it comes to hearts and all that different kind of stuff.
Yeah. Anyways, Robert was very angry at his mother, who apparently remarried very quickly after his father's unexpected passing. I didn't see exactly like how quickly she got married, but apparently for him it's too quick.
Okay.
After this, he left the Catholic Church and he became really like withdrawn. They said that he was like super antisocial and like started like just kind of like being by himself, and he like collected stamps, and I guess that was their example of being antisocial.
Collecting stamps?
Yeah, I don't know what they have against stamp collecting. Okay. But
I collect stamps.
Apparently, that's a red flag. So, okay. Watch out for those stamp collectors, I guess.
I mean, let's just take a minute to recap here. He was beaten by his father. His mother remarried too quick, and he doesn't like her. He's antisocial. He collects stamps. All right.
And he has high blood pressure.
And he's got high blood pressure.
Don't forget. Oh, and very soon, we're going to get a little bit more into people's opinions on his looks.
All right. Poor man. No, I didn't mean to say that at all, because I'm not gonna think that here quick. All right, continue.
Remember the name Butcher, all right?
Yeah, no, I know.
The age of 16 seemed to be a really troubling time for him. I mean, who didn't have a hard time at 16? Get over it. It was the age his father died. He was also, okay, I'm sorry, this part's actually bad. He was unfortunately raped by a coworker at a restaurant that they worked at. Around this time too. I don't know if it was like 16 or 17. It was basically like between 16 and 18.
Yeah.
You know what? No. After the age of 16, his life just went downhill, but most of it's his fault.
Okay.
Also after, wow, I don't know why I said after. That's not what my notes say. Also, it was mentioned that he saw the movie The Collector, which I guess is about a guy who kidnapped a woman and held her captive. And he said later that this movie left a really big impact on him. And I'm thinking maybe it gave him inspiration for his future crimes.
Mm.
I don't know. Who knows?
All right.
This was also around the time he discovered that he was a homosexual. It was said that after this self-discovery, he had gained a lot of confidence, which he didn't reportedly have due to being bullied. Like, he had a really awkward demeanor, and he had really thick, large glasses. And then in my notes, I wrote, honey, tell me about it. Because if you've seen my glasses, like, they're offensively large. They're very heavy.
Yeah.
Them bitches thick. And I am extremely blind.
Megan cannot see.
I can't, like, literally, if I don't have my contacts or my glasses on, you could stand in front of me, and if you're not talking, I won't know who you are.
Yep.
Like, I cannot see. Anyways, I saw on one of my sources, too. It was so funny. So, it was, like, this whole website, I'll link it, too. It was a timeline of, like, on this day, this month, this year, this happened. And then it gave, like, a profile of him, and it said, like, height, weight. And then it said, physically attractive, and it just says no next to it.
Man.
Which I thought was so funny. Like, well, they're honest.
They're really ripping this man apart here.
It's just the facts.
Yeah, all right.
But honestly, I love that, like, when he was young, like, he's finding out his sexuality. He's, like, really coming into himself. It seems like he had a major confidence boost. And yeah. You know what? Like, get it.
Good for
that's
you.
That's great. Especially in the 60s.
Well,
get
also,
it, my man.
That's probably harder for him, too, in the 60s to realize that you're gay.
Exactly. And, you know, if he could have just, like, just done that. And then, like, been a good person. Awesome. But actually,
that's not how this story is going to go.
Yeah. I mean, if everyone did that, we wouldn't have a job. Not that I would call this a job.
I call this a hobby.
A frustrating hobby at times.
Yes, agreed.
But unfortunately, this man is actual scum. So he couldn't do anything, right? And he just became a total asshole. And he actually was, like, super, he was just a giant prick to let in, especially. Just okay. I don't know. That's just how he went about.
He has mother issues because his mother remarried too quick.
I don't know. I think he carried his confidence in that, like, cocky asshole way.
Yeah.
And he was just, like, projecting on everyone else.
Okay.
In 1967, he was enrolled in the Kansas City Art Institute, where he would begin to study to become a chef. I actually read that at first he wanted to become a professor, but then he ended up switching to become a chef. He came into some trouble during this time at school, and this part is a little rough. So he ended up getting this habit for abusing animals, and it was reported that he had he started to, like, really abuse dogs. And eventually, he ended up being expelled from his art institute for killing a dog in an art experiment in 1969.
All the signs are just pointing towards serial killer.
I don't know what the fuck kind of art involves killing dogs, but I'm glad that people saw it as a red flag and they expelled him.
Good.
It was also around this time that he became involved in drugs and excessive alcohol consumption, and he was, like, using drugs, selling drugs, and drinking all the time, and he was arrested for drug possession, but he was only held for a couple of days because he was released with lack of evidence. He only worked as a chef for a few years before he quit to open his own shop, which he called Bob's Bazaar Bazaar, and for those of you like me who did not know, a bazaar is defined as a market in a Middle Eastern country. So basically, the shop was just described as an oddities knick-knack shop with, like, antiques and shit. Like, he had, like, art and basically, like, more, because he was more into, like, the occulty things. And so it was just, like, odder shit than you would normally see in just, like, an antique shop. There was, like, art and stuff. It was a whole thing. His shop wasn't a huge success, which doesn't really surprise me for... Now, this is where I said, that doesn't surprise me for Kansas in the 70s, when I meant Missouri in the 70s. But you know what? The evaluation still stands. He had started to steal items to sell in his store, like art pieces. And ironically, it was around this time that he was a chairman for the Community Crime Watch group.
I'm literally, like, sitting here staring blankly, just, like, annoyed.
Oh, don't worry. You're going to go from annoyed to sickened.
All right, take me there.
In seconds.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so now going back to the potential seventh victim of this human trash bag. So, like I said, Christopher Bryson, he was kidnapped under the guise of Robert wanting sex from him, when he actually was a serial killer who raped and brutally murdered and tortured his victims. And then I have a quote from theverybesttop10.com. Quote, Bradella then gagged the victim's testicles with electric shocks, swabbed his eyes with pneumonia before continuing to rape him.
So that's did he only abuse men?
Yes. So that's what we're dealing with. That's the gauge of a serial killer we're dealing with today. Bryson was desperate to make it out alive, so he complied during all of this heinous torture, which could have really saved him. And we'll see that later in one of the victims who tried to fight back. And that was what got him killed, was trying to fight back. But we'll talk about that later. He was able to convince Berdella to tie his hands in front of him. And in the room with him, Berdella left a matchbook. And I'm assuming he got a hold of these matches when Berdella left the room. And so he got a hold of the matches and was able to burn the rope off of his arms, freeing himself. And he jumped from a second story window. From there, he ran to a nearby neighbor's house and took shelter on her porch. She then called the police and he told them everything. And that is going to be what leads up to his arrest. After hearing these tales of true horror, they were able to secure a search warrant, and this is when the true nightmares were discovered. There was a human skull buried in the backyard, and there was another skull and a human vertebrae in the closet. And I read that on the vertebrae, you can see the marks where it was hit with a bone saw. Along these remains, they found books on the occult, ritual robes, and torture devices, barrels that were stained with blood, and a few personal items that belonged to the victims. But the most damning of all of this was the 375 Polaroids of his victims in the various stages of rape, torture, and death.
Cool.
So now, this is where I get into my story of how I know the story.
Okay.
This case was featured in the Haunted Museum.
Oh, was it?
Okay, I forgot.
They have the pictures?
They have more than just the pictures. Okay, so I walked into this room at the exhibit room, because it has its own room. And I was like, oh man, like, this is so disgusting and so cool. And I completely forgot the name of the case. And so in the room, they have blown up pictures of the Polaroids. So you can see, like, these guys being bound and like gagged, and in a glass case they had the bed set up how it would have been set up, and I'm pretty sure they had the original sheets which had like the actual blood stains on them. Don't quote me on that one because I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure that they had that. And I know for a fact that they had the actual ritual robe that he had hung above the bed where he would torture these men. And they had the actual ritual robe hung above the bed. And they had a mannequin, and it showed how they had like hypodermic needles embedded into their shoulders, and like how they had the electric like cables like connected to the guys, and like it like had the mannequin laid out in one of the torture ways, and like how they had their hands bound behind their back like they were almost hogtied.
God, I'm not gonna lie, I'm looking at the Polaroids online right now.
Yeah,
and they're pretty tough. You can pretty literally bleak. So like how Megan said, like the mannequin showed the cables hooked up, like the picture that I'm looking at, like you can literally see like this person, like the torture that you're, I can't, it's pretty rough. That's bad. We're going to not look at that anymore.
Yeah. So that's when I was like, oh shit, I know this case. I'm like, all right, this is going to get good. Well, not good, but interesting.
Okay.
Okay. So one of these Polaroids that the detective saw was that of a man who was presumed dead hanging by his heels. And he also kept a, and we're going to get back to that picture too, because they, I believe, I think I write in my notes who they identified that to be as. And he kept a detailed 58-page record of what he did to these men, how their bodies reacted to the torture, and basically, like, what he would use on them. And just, like, he had his own little, like codes that he would write. Like, one of the medicines, he shortened it down. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, because I don't remember what it was off the top of my head. In these photographs were his seven victims, but also an additional 23-ish men who were, according to ThoughtCo.com, quote, were there voluntarily and participated in sadomasochistic activities with the victims. July 5th, 1984, he would acquire his first victim, 19-year-old Jerry Howell. Jerry was the son of Berdella's acquaintance and fellow merchant, Paul Howell. I saw in one of the few sources that he had offered Howell a ride to either a concert or a dance competition. I mean, it doesn't really matter which, but I saw in the sources, so I wanted to just mention that. That's how he got him in the car, basically. And it was just the fact that he knew his dad. They felt secure enough for Berdella to give him the ride. So that's how he got him in the car. On this drive, he gave Jerry alcohol and then drugged him with Valium. And I'm sorry, this is going to take me a second to pronounce this one. Aspromazine, I think. And that is a tranquilizer for cats and dogs. Berdella actually, he owned and Berdella owned and bred Chow Chows, and he was able to acquire animal tranquilizers from a vet supply like store, or just someone who worked at a vet supply place. Either way, he used like the fact that he had dogs and bred dogs to get these animal tranquilizers, which he was using on the men, not the animals. Once he got Jerry to his home, he tied him to his bed, where he would repeatedly drug and rape and torture Jerry with various objects and methods over the course of 28 hours. Jerry Howell died from asphyxiation from the various drug mixed with gags and his own vomit. To dispose of the remains, Berdella started to hack up the body. He cut the major arteries and hung him upside down for the blood to drain out. And okay,
he butchered him like a freaking cow.
Exactly. And I'm not sure if this is the picture of the guy hanging by his heels. They don't make it exactly clear. But then again, I have 11 pages of notes, so I might mention that again. I'm sorry, I don't remember. He then continued to dismember the body with a bone saw. He spread the remains in various trash bags, and I also read that he put them in, like, empty dog food bags. So that way they're just, like, a bunch of different, like, regular-looking trash bags. So it didn't seem, like, suspicious that he had, like, an obscene amount of trash out of nowhere. And then the trash guys loaded him up on the truck and took it away, disposing of the body for him, so he didn't have to do any of the work, really. April 10th, 1985, he found his second victim when a young drifter, age 23, his name was Robert Sheldon, he came to his door asking for a place to stay. He decided that he wasn't attracted to Sheldon, so instead of raping him, he would just test out new forms of torture. You know, apparently that's what you do when you're not attracted to someone. The new methods involved testing chemicals on him. He tied his wrist with piano wire to try to cause permanent damage to the nerves. He also put drain cleaner in his eyes, caulk in his ears, and he really wanted to spice it up, and this one actually made my skin crawl. He put needles underneath his fingernails.
I can't react. I'm like,
I was like, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm like shaking.
After suffering through all of that, he died by suffocation and then was dissected. He had to hurry to do this disposal because he had guys scheduled to come to the house to work on the house. Only 2 months later, he found his next victim, Mark Wallace. And I didn't get the age of Mark Wallace, but he was a runaway, and he was found trying to sleep in Berdella's shed. As with all the others before, he drugged Wallace, and then he, you know, had him tied to the bed, and he stuck him with the hypodermic needles in his back and would shock him with high-voltage shocks. Wallace only survived a few days with this horrible torture, And like all the others, he was then dismembered after death. It's so unfortunate. Like, I noticed all of his victims seem to just come to him. Like,
yeah, they just
come like, knocking on his door, asking for a place to stay.
In his shed. Yeah.
Like, literally every single searching. One. And that's so sad because I feel like with some of them, they felt like they could trust him. So he must have had this thing about him that people felt like they could come to him.
They're also, you know? Like, from the... Well, the one was a worker's son, but the last two that you've described, they were runaways. So, I mean, when you're a runaway, you probably would trust anyone that would give you shelter for a night.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone knocks on someone's door expecting them to be tortured the way that he tortured these men.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just super sad that they knocked on the wrong door. They could have knocked on the door next
neighbor's
to this
door.
One.
Yeah.
And it would have been a completely different story.
Mm-hmm.
His next is another colleague of his, Walter James Ferris, who I also, for the rest of them, I don't have their ages.
Okay.
He reached out to see if he could stay with Berdella for a little while. I don't remember how they knew each other, but they were acquaintances. Okay. He endured 2 days of torture before passing away from the brutality of it all. He was strapped to the bed and received shocks of 7,700 volts to his genitals. Again, and they were all, like, dismembered and disposed of in the same way. Okay, so it was around June 1986. He ran into a man named Todd Stoops, who he had met while Todd was soliciting his prostitution services. So they ran into each other at the park, and Berdella invited Stoops over for lunch. He went through his usual routine of drugging him to aid in the capture, but unlike the rest of the victims, he kept Stoops around for a couple of weeks. And he wanted him to be his sex slave. In efforts to debilitate him, Berdella sent electric shocks to his eyes and attempted to make him a mute by putting drain cleaner down his throat, all the while raping and sexually assaulting Todd. He passed away from blood loss from a ruptured anal cavity. I promise you were on the last one.
I was going to say, I can't do this anymore.
In 1987, he would kill his last victim, and this guy, I do know his age, he was 20 years old. His name was Larry Wayne Pearson. A man he knew, I don't know if he was a merchant, a customer, he just knew him from his bazaar. He was drugged and held in this torture chamber for about 6 weeks. So I know that Stoops was also there for many weeks. I don't know exactly how many weeks he was there, so I don't know who was held there the longest, but it's between Pearson and Stoops. But Pearson was there for 6 weeks, we do know that. He continued the practice of trying to keep Pearson immobilized by electric shocks, binds, and more drain cleaner down his throat. He had also broken his hand with a metal pipe. Pearson was the one who did try to fight back, and he inflicted his own pain on this man. He, while he was being raped, he bit down as hard as he could on Berdella's penis. And he went to the doctor, actually, and found out that he, like, needed to have surgery on his penis for whatever reason to get it fixed. Mm-hmm. And that made him so angry that he went back to the house and strangled Pearson to death. After the police arrived at the house with their search warrant and saw this torture chamber, he was immediately arrested and charged with first-degree assault and 7 other charges toward Christopher Bryson. After sifting through the evidence and seeing the photographs, seeing one of the victims dead hanging by his heels, which I do go back and say that I believe that that was Jerry Howell.
Mm-hmm.
So after this, he struck a plea deal to confess to the murders in order to get life without parole and have the death sentence taken off the table. He was charged with first-degree murder for Robert Sheldon, and Robert Sheldon was the skull that they had. I think that one was the one that was buried in the backyard. And then second degree. Oh, and he was also identified by dental records. And he was charged with second degree for the additional four victims just because they had less evidence on them. With most of them being runaways, they just weren't able to track them down. Or the ones that they did know who they were, they didn't have the physical, like, body evidence of those. So it was hard to track him down with first degree, but at least they could get him on second because, like, the pictures and the notes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He would roughly spend 4 years in the state penitentiary in Jefferson City, Missouri, before he passed away on October 8th, 1992, at the age of 43, from a heart attack. And that is that.
I hate it when I can't.
I told you this one was bad.
That's bad. That's probably the worst one that you've done so far.
Worse than Toy Box Killer?
Yeah, I think so. I also think that I, like, looked at the pictures too, so that's also in my mind.
Yeah.
He did electric shock in their eyes and put bleach down. I just don't understand how, like, I don't know. Like, we're all of us are born as a blank slate. Like, we know nothing. We come into this world knowing absolutely nothing.
Well, I think this was attributed to the fact that he was not physically attracted and had high blood pressure.
Okay.
And collected stamps.
A lot of people collect stamps. Everyone has high freaking blood pressure.
You have high blood pressure right now.
Right now, yeah. I don't... People, when you're 16, everyone gets picked on when they're 16. No one's attractive at 16. Everyone has their things. They're finding their way. Like, I don't understand why in one person's mind it switches to where they're justified. They're not justified by any means, but, like, their hardships are turned into, I'm going to literally torture men for weeks and kill them. And other people say, hey, I'm 16. This kind of sucks. I'm going to rebel a little bit, but I'm going to get over it and live a normal fucking life. Because that's what you do.
Yeah, like, why couldn't he have just been a chef and, like, had a good life? Like,
be the next Gordon Ramsay. Don't be the freaking butcher of Kansas City.
Or why couldn't you be that old guy that has his little oddity shop and leave it at that?
And go have sex with men and then call it a day.
Yeah. But like, where do you even conjure up these ideas?
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah, I don't
and not only that, but then where do you conjure up, like, the nerve to go through with it? Like, I can't even hit someone, let alone put pneumonia in their eyes and drain cleaner in their eyes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, like, just the thought of, like, what those men, any victim to any torture or serial killer, whatever happens to anyone, I don't like it, because then I just think, like, what, those are last moments, like, on this earth, and why did it have to happen to them? Like, why that person, and why so, like, vicious and gruesome and terrible? I just don't
I don't know. And, like, I know in a lot of these cases where, like, these men are, like, secretly gay, a lot of it is like, oh, like, they brought out all their anger on this other gay man. But my thing is, like, he didn't even have that. He was, like, openly gay. He was very confident. Like, so where is this rage coming from?
The thing is, though, is I feel like with stuff like this, like, he gained his confidence from the terrible, twisted things that he was doing.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. Like, the confidence was building while he was, like,
doing this,
torturing animals. And I think that, and then, like, he said he had
because
influence
an animal,
from that movie.
An animal,
like,
is helpless. They can't do anything. And when you're throwing bleach down someone's throat, they're helpless too.
And that was his whole point, is he wanted them to be helpless. He wanted them to not be able to speak, not be able to move. He wanted to see that fear and torture in their eyes and keep it going.
And then he dies of a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah, it annoys me when they die of, like, a medical thing like that. Like, I wish he could have just sat in prison and rotted for the rest of his life.
I'm going to take the death penalty off the table. It makes me mad also because like my case next week has to do with the death penalty and like the things that they used to do. And just the man that I'm gonna talk about and like what they did to him, like his crime literally doesn't even like become even close to what this man did. And he
Well, the only
did
reason
not
he
get
got
the
it off the table was because he had so much more that they wanted to know. So
Well,
he's like,
I
oh, like,
don't.
I'll tell you what you want to know. But like, it's like you have to do more
You.
heinous things to get a lesser treatment. So that way, like, you can like hold out your information. Like, it happens all the time. Like, people get off with this shit because they had more information on someone else.
You know, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
You do.
Oh. Well.
So my question for you, Sid, is do you want me to put off BTK a little bit longer so you can do you want me to do a ghost one next time?
No, you can. I mean, it's essentially going to be the same concept.
But you need more time to breathe.
No, I'll be fine by then.
Okay.
I'll be fine.
This one might be worse than BTK. I really don't remember that much of it.
Well, we're going to find out in 2 weeks.
Sure will. Well,
I have no words, so I don't have anything else to add to the end of this podcast. So you're going to have to take us home, Megan. Go
that's
see
fine.
Batman. That's what I have to add to this.
I will take the reins from here. Let me put on my podcast voice.
Okay.
Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Tales of the Wicked. I hope you try to enjoy it somehow, maybe a little bit. Who knows? If you did, please join us again next week for Sydney's episode. And as always, you can rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Those ratings and the subscriptions, they really help us. They really boost our numbers. So please keep rating, keep subscribing, and share with a friend. If you guys have any case suggestions, you can email us or send us a message on Instagram. And I think that is all I have for you guys today. Sid, do you have any closing words?
Go watch Batman.
Yes, go watch Batman.
And don't be a trash human being.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Robert Bordella, get fucked.
I
He's
thought you were
fucked.
about to say Robert Pattinson. I was like,
Oh, I could never.
what? Yeah, because
Not Robbie Pats.
he's not a trash human being.
No. But yeah,
All right.
you, Robert Bordella, fuck you. You are ugly.
Your attractive scale on the internet is zero.
Yeah. They didn't even give you a number. They just said no. Attractive? No. And you know what? I agree. Fuck you. But to everyone listening at home, we love you. And I'm just gonna let Sid recover in silence. So you guys have a good week, and we will catch you next week.
See you next
Bye.
week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.